When you look out into the world or you listen to the news, read the newspaper, our world is filled with problems. All kinds of problems. But when you look at the cause of many of those problems, you go back to certain things that the Bible condemns. There's greed, deceit, dishonesty, immorality. You go to the religious world and you see all the problems in the religious world. All the division and the hatred and all of these things. And you go back to the causes of those. Those are things that God condemns. What's the answer to all those problems? Very simple. Everyone simply needs to listen to the voice of the Lord. That would go so far in taking care of and solving the problems in the world, economic problems, social problems, religious problems, if people would simply listen to the voice of the Lord. There's a magnificent psalm that deals with this, Psalm 29, and it's going to serve as our text this morning. A psalm that the world certainly needs to listen to. It's all about listening to the voice of the Lord. Psalms 29, it divides itself very naturally into three sections. The first section begins by praising the Lord. Praising the Lord for who He is. Given to the Lord, O you mighty ones. Given to the Lord glory and strength. Given to the Lord the glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Mighty one. Some translations put angels there. Anyway, he's talking about powerful ones. And what does he tell them? You need to acknowledge God for who He is. Acknowledge His power. Acknowledge His glory. Recognize His majesty. Because He's deserving of admiration. Wouldn't it be grand if that's what the world did? Whether they were religious or not, if they would simply recognize God for who He is and His power and His strength. In 1 Chronicles 16, we have some words written that are very pointed about this very thing. 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 25. It's written, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him, strength and gladness are in His place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved." When we come to worship God, we need to first of all remember who He is, and we need to listen to His voice. Notice back in Psalm 29, he says that we are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Some translations have holy garments. Not what we have on. Our physical clothes aren't holy or unholy by themselves. But it's the person inside those garments. That's what he's concerned about. He's concerned about a holy life. 1 Peter, or 2 Peter chapter 3. No, I think that's 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about a holy life and what it's like. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. The context is wives and husbands, but certainly it applies to all people. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. An incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That's what it means to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Wearing holy garments, characterized by a holy life. And just think, this is how the psalm begins, by telling people they need to recognize God for who He is. Wouldn't that go a long ways in solving all of our world's problems? Just that one thing alone is recognizing God for who He is. He's the only God. Notice what we read in 1 Chronicles. There's lots of things that claim to be God, but as the writer says, they're just idols. So many people in the world worship some idol. Some people worship the idol of atheism. Yeah, atheism's a religion. It's an idol. Some people worship it. Many people worship it. But it would go so far in our world in solving so many of the issues that come up if people would recognize Jehovah as the one true living God. The next part of the psalm talks about the power of His voice. Beginning in verse 3, it says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." He begins by giving people this background. We've certainly this past week or two recognized a severe thunderstorm. That's the background to these next few verses. God's voice is like the voice of thunder. We have this powerful display of nature, of His creation. We have lightning, we have thunder, we have rain, all of those things. And that's the background. Strong winds, this fierce lightning. And so His voice is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. It's over many waters. It's like God's voice can penetrate through anything. It can penetrate through anything. Isn't that what the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 4? Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. The writer of Hebrews puts it like this. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." The voice of the Lord, what is it? It's powerful. It's living. It's a discerner. The voice of the Lord. Why won't more people listen to it? In Job 37, the book right before this, Job 37, that book talks about God's voice and its power. Job 37, beginning in verse 1. It says, "At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Hear attentively the thunder of His voice and the rumbling that comes from His mouth. He sends it forth under the whole heaven, His lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with His majestic voice, and He does not restrain from them when His voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with His voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend." We cannot ignore God's voice. If we do so, we do it at our own peril. God's voice is speaking. Sure, it speaks to us. We have a whole written revelation of God's voice speaking to us. And if we choose to neglect it in any way, we do so at our peril. And that means anybody and everybody. People living on the far side of the world, if they ignore God's voice, they do so at their own peril. Everyone today is accountable to listening to the voice of the Lord. We have no choice if we expect heaven to be our home. It's an imposing voice. In Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah talks about how imposing the voice of the Lord is. Jeremiah 23, beginning in verse 29. And consequences to saying it's the voice of the Lord when it's not. Pay special attention. Verse 29 of Jeremiah 23. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord. Now he says why? Who, what does he do? He steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I do not send them or command them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. So when these people or the prophet or the priest ask you, saying, what's the oracle of the Lord? You shall say to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. What was going on? Well, these prophets, these teachers were telling the people, and they were saying, this is the voice of the Lord. But what they would say was a lie. Now, that was written 2,500 years ago or more. But it's still true today. There are so many people today who are saying, this is the voice of the Lord, and then what comes out of their mouth is a lie. It's deceit. So that hasn't changed in the religious world at all. People are deceiving others by saying, this is what the Word says. This is what God says. This is the voice of the Lord. And it's not. Think about all the division in the religious world today because of that very thing. People saying, this is what God says. When it's not what God says at all. It's not the voice of the Lord. People will teach this, they'll teach that. And they'll say, this is what the Lord says. This is what His Word says. And it's not. And God knows it's not. And God calls them lies. They'll say, this is the oracle of God. No, it's not. And God knows it. And God condemns them for that. And God condemns people today for the same thing. All the division in the world, all the different religions, all the different denominations, whatever. You know, they are all saying, this is the voice of the Lord, whatever their particular God may be called. But God says, no, it's not. He says, all they're doing is they're saying lies. They're deceiving the people. So we certainly are in a time when we need to listen to the voice of the Lord and no one else. That's why it's so important for us to know what God's Word says. Many people who call themselves Christians are doing the same thing. Saying this is the voice of the Lord. This is what God teaches. But yet it's not found in God's Word, so therefore it's not what God teaches. This would go so far in uniting people. People in the first century had problems with this, didn't they? People in Corinth had problems with this. Paul starts that letter in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 by saying, I want you all to speak the same thing and be of the same mind. Because even those people, and that was only a few years after the beginning of the church, there were people already saying, this is the voice of the Lord, when it wasn't. And it was causing division. And of course, from that time on, more and more and more division has resulted from this very thing. People saying, this is the voice of the Lord, when in reality it wasn't. All the division that's caused over time, it just is staggering. Ezekiel had very much the same thing to say in Ezekiel 13, beginning in verse 7. Talking about prophets who were prophesying things that weren't true. Ezekiel 13, beginning in verse 7. Have you not seen a futile vision? And have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you've spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they were saying, the Lord says this, when God said, I hadn't said that, all those things were taken away from them. They weren't even going to be allowed in the assembly of the people. Why? Because he says, they were envisioning lies and speaking nonsense. They were divining lies. What they were saying was false. It wasn't true. And God knew it. Don't you think God knows that today? Every time someone gets up and claims to be saying, this is the voice of the Lord, when it's a lie. Now, maybe done in ignorance, but it's still wrong. It's not the voice of the Lord, and God knows it every time. Regardless of who's speaking it, wherever in the world they're speaking it, if it's not the truth, it's not the truth. And it's just that simple. God says He's against them. And that's why we have so much religious division everywhere. People are listening to the wrong voice. They're not listening to the voice of the Lord. Back in our psalm, verses 5 through 7, he says, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. And the cedar, of course, at that time represented something that was strong, represented strength. The voice of the Lord was even able to break the cedars. Yes, so the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. So even the strong can't win against God's voice. We used to see this a lot when debates were so prevalent. The voice of the Lord would win. The truth would win. Error can never win against truth. It's impossible. The truth can break down anything, regardless of what it is. God's Word has the power to bring people to their knees. This would often happen if you've read much of religious history, especially in our country. Back in the early days when Christianity was kind of spreading across and went into the Ohio Valley through Kentucky and Tennessee and on over, there would be so much teaching that would go on every day, and of course there were debates even back then. You saw what would happen when people realized the truth, when they realized what they were hearing was the truth, that it was the voice of the Lord. That would often happen to them. They would just break down. They would be driven to their knees, because that's the power of the voice of the Lord. It's able to do that. The truth is able to do that. It's always had that power, and it still has that power. He says it's like the lightning divides the flames of fire. We need to stand in awe of God's Word. In Psalm 119, verse 161, he uses that expression. Psalm 119, verse 161. The second half of that verse says, my heart stands in awe of your word. That's what the world needs to do. Stand in awe of God's word. That's what we need to do. Stand in awe of God's word. When we come to something in the Bible that we haven't done or we know we need to do, we need to stand in awe of it and then do it. Why? Because it's the voice of the Lord. We need to listen to it. Regardless of what it is, have that type of submissive, humble heart that says, I'm going to do it. Because I'm going to listen to the voice of the Lord. That needs to be our attitude. We need to be in awe of it. Notice what the Word has done. In 2 Peter chapter 3, notice the expression, the same Word. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. So watch the expression in these verses, the same Word. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the voice of the Lord, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The world was flooded by the voice of the Lord, by the word, and it will be destroyed at the end of time by the same voice of the Lord, by the same word. We should stand in awe because this represents God's voice. This is God speaking. We call it the Holy Bible. It's inspired of God, means it came out of God's mouth. This is like a recording of God's words, of God's voice. And that's how we listen to the voice of the Lord today. We don't go in a closet or go to some temple waiting for God to speak to us, because He doesn't do that. He does speak to us, but He speaks to us through His Word that's recorded. This is a record. This is a recording of the voice of the Lord. That's why we all need to listen to it. It's powerful. We need to stand in awe of it. Stand in awe of it. And that little section there in Psalm 29 ends up, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. Notice its power. It shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everyone says, glory. The awe of the voice of the Lord. The power and majesty of the voice of the Lord. So we see that we're praise the Lord, we see the power of His voice, and in the end we see that it provides strength. It provides strength. Last two verses. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as King forever. The Lord will give strength to His people, the Lord will bless His people with peace. God is in control. During the flood, what did He do? He was totally in control of that flood. Now, if you were on earth and witnessing that flood, it looked like total chaos. You know, the worst natural disaster of all time. But God was in control of it all. Every last little part of it. Nothing got away from Him. He was totally in control of it. So He sat enthroned at the flood. He protected Noah and his family, and all the rest was destroyed. And the Lord sits as King forever. His rule and His reign will never end. You know, rulers on earth, they come and go. Even if they rule for 50 years, they still come and go. But not God, not Jehovah. And similarly, His word lasts forever. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter emphasizes this aspect of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. Quoting from the Old Testament, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The voice of the Lord endures forever. And He says, the Lord will give strength to His people and will bless His people with peace. One of my favorite passages in the Old Testament talks about this in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 29. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 29, says this. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He gives us strength. How does He do that? It's not miraculous. But He does give us strength. He gives us strength through worship. That's why we need to worship as often as we can. We're strengthened by it. We're strengthened by having fellowship with one another. Being with one another gives us strength. We're strengthened through prayer. He tells us we are when we go to Him. We're strengthened. And we're strengthened by His Word when we listen to it. When we listen to the voice of the Lord, we are strengthened. And He says that I will give you peace. The peace that Paul told the church in Philippi that passes understanding. It's really beyond our ability to comprehend. But Paul said there in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that that peace is found in Christ Jesus. It's not found anywhere else. The only people that can have true peace are those people who are in Christ Jesus. And as Galatians chapter 3, 27 says, those people are baptized into Christ. That's the final act. It's not some sort of empty ritual. No. It's an act that has meaning. It's an act that's preceded by faith and repentance and confession. That places us in Christ where peace is found. It's not found anywhere else. And those who have experienced that new birth can experience peace, real, true, lasting peace. And if that's your desire today, don't wait, but come as we stand and sing this next song.